afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Registered Ear Offenders, also known as REO, hosted by Sal Rodriguez and Chris Z on SkidRowStudios.com, also on Extreme Talk XM 165. Chris, you are wearing a tank top today, looking extremely sexy.
Thanks, Sal. I often wonder if the guests that come in here, kind of look at me and wonder why I dress for the summer, even when it's in the winter. Here in the studios, we have a little bit of a situation here. We have an air conditioner, a very effective air conditioner, but we can't run it while we're recording the show.
That is correct.
So we turn it down. It gets awfully stuffy in here. So you'll notice if you ever see the pictures, like the ones on the website, it looks like, does this guy just come from the gym? This is how he shows up to work.
But it does when they have the Sunday sex talk show, the Love Bite, and we would come in to do the other show, the weekly wrap-up following, there would be six women in here all whipping each other or whatever, and we would come in here, and it would be a sauna.
Yeah.
And it would smell like the musty smell of sweat and sex. The sex, sex and sweat smell.
Yeah. It's funny. You really don't notice how much heat people generate until you're around crowds. And, given some of my previous professions, the catering and even performing stand-up comedy, you will see the difference. I'll walk into a venue a few hours early to just kind of feel it out, and it's cool as a cucumber. And then a few hours later when it's packed to the house, you can't even breathe. People soak up so much oxygen and they, secrete waste.
Oh, it's disgusting. And you know what? I used to have this client in the gym. I used to work him out, and he was a prop master. Very nice guy, not to demean him. He was a great guy, but he would work 14-hour days as a prop master.
Ooh, a lot of physicality in a warehouse.
Yeah, and then he'd show up at the gym already smelling like he was at the gym.
Now, I got to tell you something, Sal. It's funny you said that, because on more than one occasion, I've kind of set aside or backburnered a subject I wanted to talk about because I felt it was too similar to Sal's weekly rant.
Sure. Well, you know what? There is no more Sal's weekly rant, by the way.
Right. Well, yeah.
You did let the cat out of the bag. Nick, just to let you know, were you here tonight? Yeah, you were here last week. There is no more Sal's weekly rant because apparently there's another show, Rick Isqueta Show, which features his co-host Rob, which has Rob's rant. So I decided it is the end of Sal's weekly rant, and it is going to be called now Sal's Me Time.
Yeah, Sal, I don't know if you just noticed, but the way you delivered that, you made it sound like you were just putting an abrupt end to the segment, which is a fan favorite. So I was about to chime in and say, hold on, don't,
that's so nice of you, Chris. I don't know if anybody gives a shit about Sal's weekly rant, except for you and I think.
A fan favorite. That's my nickname for I like it.
Well, thank you.
But anyway, that's one thing I've always wanted to address is people who for some reason think that because they're going to the gym, they can come in any condition they want. And sometimes you encounter people at the gym and you go, unless you've been working out for four straight hours, there's no good reason for you to smell like that.
Yeah.
It's impolite, frankly. Guys that smell like a really good cheeseburger that's left out in the sun.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you work construction, you got to think about other people. That's all I'm saying.
One thing that came in vogue a few years ago was these polyester workout shirts. Nike, Adidas would make these workout shirts made of polyester materials, and polyester and sweat do not mix. So guys would wear these polyester workout shirts that look great. They have the wicking, the wicking stuff that they advertise. It wicks the sweat off you, and they stink. Polyester and sweat do not mix, and you can refer back to the old 70 disco era for that, too.
Now, why is that? Is it because polyester doesn't soak up the sweat, or does it somehow compound the stench?
Well, I got to tell you, after years of working out and years of working in the gym, cotton, cotton, cotton. Every other material does not blend well or allow the body to breathe normally.
Yeah, that's funny you should say that. Cotton seems to be put on this earth, expressly to coincide, to jibe with the human body. I don't know if you know this, but sometimes women who have problems like with yeast infections and things like that, they're told to wear cotton panties, not these synthetic materials that don't absorb.
Yes, and that's why you volunteered at the gym to make sure that women are wearing cotton
panties. I do. I have a van. I park it right outside the door, and I have a selection of undergarments that I Sal, I noticed something on the way, and it rubbed me the wrong way.
What's that?
We live in downtown LA, which, in my opinion, is the most predatory city in probably the universe. I'll just say in the world for right now. But I noticed that you ever see when there's like a little driveway, so it's like a little ramp, and it kind of cuts through the sidewalk and delivers the person from wherever they came from onto the street with ease, right?
Okay.
And I noticed that as I passed two of them, they had parking meters on them.
Yes.
So what I'm saying is that at some point, the city came along and saw that people were using them because whatever used to be there is no longer there anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, the edifice gets raised or something that you know, something of that effect. But the little ramp is still there.
And are you talking about a driveway? Simply a driveway?
Yeah, correct. Like, yes. Maybe there used to be a building that's probably where the garage let out in that
Got
little
it,
area.
But now it's no longer
right.
a service entrance
and
or whatever.
People will, you know, maybe that's just a construction site now or something like along those lines. People will come and use that little driveway as a parking space sure. because it's no longer useful.
Got it.
So I noticed that I guess at some point the city actually sent somebody out to bolt a parking meter on yes. that little ramp. And like literally the parking meter stands at an angle
really?
Because it wasn't meant to be there.
But are you sure it's not the other way around? Are you sure that they didn't build the ramp after the meter was there?
No, because literally the meter is on a gradient, is on an incline. That's what I'm trying to explain to you, that the meter is at an angle.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
And this obviously they didn't do that unless they put a meter in a driveway, which wouldn't make any sense.
Yes.
What I'm saying is clearly it was an afterthought.
Yes.
It was something they did after the fact. And it seems so predatory that they couldn't let one space go. That's yeah. what they go. We could be making $4 a day off that space.
Yeah.
But it's just. Ugh.
No, let me tell you something. If I ever want to go V for Vendetta, one day I ever want to go falling down Michael Douglas or V for Vendetta, it will be not only to blow up parking meters, but also to put dynamite on the cameras at the intersections. I mean, really, I will go buck wild Ted Kaczynski style and plant bombs all over these parking meters and damn cameras.
You know, those cameras are falling out of favor across the country. And I just read an article not too long ago. I wish I could remember where, but you know, basically they're taking them down. They cost a lot to maintain. Mm-hmm. There's problems with them. Like, for example, one problem that often comes up is they'll calibrate the camera for you to be going, say, 30 miles an hour, right? But if it's a 45-mile-an-hour zone, you obviously need more time. You know, due to the law of physics, you need more time to come to a stop.
Sure.
And they have found, in some cases, they've had to issue full refunds going back for months because they found that the meter was calibrated to a different speed than what is the speed in the area.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
No, I hear what you're saying. As a matter of fact, I got a speeding ticket in Phoenix, Arizona, driving on the 10 freeway east. I got a speeding ticket. And then several months later, I finally decided, well, I guess I should finally pay this thing. I'm going to go to Arizona again eventually. So I call up the courthouse and they say, oh, all those tickets were dismissed and they took down all the cameras. So some sort of, you know, let me tell you something. Some people criticize the ACLU.
Right.
But the ACLU does a lot of wonderful things, yeah. like get rid of these damn cameras. And for that reason, I didn't have to pay a $250 ticket on the 10 freeway in Arizona.
You know, the way I feel about the ACLU, Sal, is one of those organizations that the fact that you can criticize it is a privilege. You know what I mean? It's sort of like remember when Cubans were rallying in the streets over Elian Gonzalez's, sure. You know, the fact that they allowed him to return home to his own fucking father.
Yes.
You know, the fact that you can leave a totalitarian state, you know, and come here and be granted a wealth of privileges and then exercise those privileges yep. to lash out against the very government that gave you those privileges. It's at least tell me you see the irony.
Well, it's no different than like the God hates fags people.
Right.
The people from the Westboro Baptist Church. Everybody hates these guys.
Right.
Nobody wants them around. And yet we have to let them be around. Yeah. Because if it weren't for them being able to exercise their rights of protest and their rights of free speech, then you and I cannot sit here and say fuck, fuck, fuck as well.
Many, many years ago, I heard someone say, a broadcaster, there is no such thing as limited free speech. And obviously, like anything else, it's a double-edged sword. And they're absolutely right. If it's unlimited in any way, it's not free.
Chris, tell our audience what's on the show today and who do we got in the studio?
Big show, Sal. Big show. We got...
Do not say station identification.
We're going to start out with YouTube Talk. Sal and I have a brand new segment. Well, not exactly, but we're taking it in a new direction here. It's called Extraordinary People. And Sal and I kind of looked up a couple different people, did a little research, talked about some individuals who, for one reason or another, we find inspiring, and we decided to share them with you. That'll be followed by Chris's Corner, a brand new Chris's Corner, a brand new, in two respects, Sal's Me Time.
But it will have the same music as Sal's Weekly Rant.
And then our guest for today is she assures me she's not Eva Longoria. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to tell her she's a singer. She's an actress. I read her bio.
No, but I will tell you this. She does have a tie, sort of a 2-3 degrees of separation from Eva Longoria.
In terms of where she placed in some beauty pageant?
Yeah, exactly. Right ahead of Eva Longoria.
Well, in this case, I literally had to read over several documents. This is the first time that Sal has sent me, the background information on a guest, and it was like several links, like yes. Because she's done so many things. It took work. It was like I was writing a term paper.
Not only is she multi-talented and has a fat resume, but she is extremely obsessive. And so that was her just bombarding us with all of her life story.
My heart skipped a beat, Sal, when you said she has a fat. I said, well, this is getting inappropriate, Sal.
We will see. If I do say anything fat about our guest, it'll be P-H-A-T.
Yeah. With a capital P. I guess in that case, let's just get things started.
All right. Now, one thing we want to clarify about today's YouTube talk in Extraordinary People is that Chris and I had sort of a misunderstanding, a miscommunication, if you will. When I first mentioned to Chris about Extraordinary People, I was referring to I believe it's the Learning Channel or the History Channel or one of those science and educational channels. There's a show called Extraordinary People. About people who have disfigurements, disabilities, who, let's face it, were not born with all their faculties and facilities, and yet they are moving on with their life, and they are not allowing their disfigurement or their handicap to tear them down. So I wanted to talk about that. And then Chris wanted to see how that can segue then into people who are really making a difference in this world.
Yeah, I did do my homework, Sal, and I watched these videos on some of these people, and what an irrepressible human spirit some of them have. I mean, I don't think I could last a day, with what some of these people have dealt with their whole lives.
Let's show a clip of this lady here. She is on Extraordinary People right here on YouTube. The woman with giant legs is as silly as that sounds. Listen up.
Mandy Sellers has a condition so rare that doctors have no idea what has caused her lower limbs to grow to more than 15 stone in weight.
So is it very lonely? When you have some kind of condition that you feel nobody else has in the world.
Amazingly, at the age of 33, Mandy's lower limbs are still growing. And now she is faced with a huge dilemma. Should she have a double amputation?
I wonder if I have my legs off now, would it be a good thing because it has better health implications?
But Mandy's in a catch-22 situation. A double amputation would remove more than half of her body mass, and the surgery could prove fatal.
Amputation comes at the potential cost of wound infection and potentially death.
But if she doesn't have an amputation, her giant legs may kill her.
With all the weight that she's having to carry around, like, it might just be too much for her heart.
Can I have somebody's help, please? Can't get in.
In a race against time, Mandy's on a journey to discover more about her unique condition and to decide whether a double amputation may threaten her life or save it.
This woman has every justification to be bitter, to be angry, to be an alcoholic, to be a drug addict, to raise her fist at God. And yet no.
What impressed me, Sal, is every facet of her life kind of made me wonder, made me come up with questions that I have no clue. Both of them are enormous, but she has a boot. It was clearly custom made for her.
Custom made by a professional shoe cobbler.
But it looked exactly like a regular shoe, except for the fact that it was comically large.
It was giant.
I mean, just think, this poor woman probably can't do a single thing on a daily basis without some special, what's the word I'm looking for here?
Orthopedic apparatus?
Some assistance from somebody. I mean, she drives a car. I'm sure they don't make cars, I'm sure the average gas pedal is not fit for her foot.
She has to drive with her hands. But listen how she handles herself on a daily basis, how she feels about keeping care of herself.
Having, like, nice hair and looking good on the outside makes you feel good on the inside as well. It kind of gives me probably more confidence. To kind of go out and face the world, I suppose.
Listen to that. She likes to get her hair done and look great every day. I wish my girlfriend would listen to this. my girlfriend does not have a handicap, and yet she goes out in her sweatpants every day.
That's funny. Yeah. Sweatpants are the equivalent of a TV show jumping the shark.
Exactly. Once your girlfriend wears sweatpants, it's over. It's over. Yeah. So listen to listen to the final clip of this woman from Extraordinary People, the woman with the giant legs. Listen to this attitude. This is where we're coming to the pinnacle here. Listen to this attitude.
But it does give me hope, that life after may not be as difficult as what I'm imagining it could be.
And there you go. So she is facing amputation. She was born with a severe deformity, facing amputation of her legs. And listen to that. I mean, geez, I tell you, when I see able-bodied people, when I see people that are bitching, that are complaining, that want to blame everybody in the world, their family, the government, I want to give them a slap after seeing stuff like this. This woman is amazing with an amazing attitude. And I notice a lot of these people, if you go through a lot of these shows, a lot of these people with severe challenges, very articulate, they're doing stuff. Show me a woman with no legs, but with their little tiny flipper feet. She's painting.
Right. Quick side note, Sal. All these videos are available on YouTube. That's where I found them, and it really is worth watching. Though I must confess, Sal, like I have a pretty strong stomach. I've touched a dead body. I've been to the Middle East. I never get sick. But I will tell you, I couldn't get through the kids that with the skin growth disorder.
There are some kids that have this skin disorder where they do not have an epidermis. And every day they got to put what looks like Crisco on their body. And yet these kids, intelligent, articulate, sweet kids, they're not bitching. They're not complaining. They're not sitting in front of their Xbox getting obese.
They don't have that that Vietnam veteran anger that you would expect them to have, that, you know, that life has slighted, that perpetual anger, you know, in their eyes. And I will say this. I do remember from watching the video, they said that they grow more skin per day than most people grow every 4 weeks. And their mother literally has to scrub them down twice a day.
And has to vacuum like twice a day also for their shedding skin.
And the scrubbing is unpleasant. It's painful to the mm-hmm. children. At one point, she starts crying. But I must say this, Sal, too. It made me think this. And I didn't want to admit this, and I debated bringing it up. I hope that in the future, we as a race, human beings, we start caring more for the people that are on this earth than being so obsessed with the vanity of having a child. Because I look at those two children, and part of their story was their parents debated having another one, mm-hmm. and they went ahead and did it anyway. Mm-hmm. Yep. And that one had a, you know, so suddenly you have these two children who will never lead a normal life. Yep. And even though the parents always take on this super optimistic, oh, we love our children just as much as regular children, the fact is parents are meant to die before their children. What's going to happen to these poor kids when you're gone? Who's going to do for them what you've done for them? Probably no one. Yeah. And I just wonder if, like, wouldn't this be a better place if we stopped kind of finding, you know, oh, well, people with special needs, we need to look at them just like that we look at it. No, I think here's a better idea. Why don't we just take care of the people who are already fucking here? Why don't we go to the orphanage where there's a perfectly healthy baby and take care of that kid instead of producing a genetically defective child who now is going to have an abnormal life because that's what you wanted to do.
I agree with you.
Sometimes I get mad, Sal, and I want to tell these people, you are so goddamn selfish. You didn't do anything great. You didn't make an accomplishment. In fact, you know, I have a buddy who's the most sarcastic. He's that guy who always has like a negative take on everything, and he posts it on, you know, on Twitter. He's always a little smarter than everybody else, very smug. But man, when he had that baby a couple months ago, now he's posting pictures every fucking 4 hours.
It becomes the baby's Facebook page.
Yeah, and I want to say to him, you know, congratulations, buddy. What an accomplishment. That means that one more kid has to live out his life in an orphanage. He's going to wind up in juvenile detention. He's never going to know the love of a parent. Yeah. Just so that you and your beautiful wife get celebrate the miracle of your genetics being combined into one fucking trophy.
Well, you know what? I saw something that really, it made me kind of smirk. I saw this great looking, print model looking couple, a beautiful Anglo, everything I, as a short Latino, would look at this beautiful, tall, white couple, great looking, with a dorky, goofy, little, ugly kid that was theirs. I don't think this was adopted. I was like, ah, ha, ha, nature's cruel joke.
Serves it right.
That's right, you people. But just to clarify, we do have to move on. If there are any 15, 16-year-old teenage girls in orphanages and you need a place to stay, Chris is opening up his door to you.
I have for some time been thinking about that. I've been modifying my accommodations to welcome foster teenagers into the home.
That's right.
I don't like children, so I do prefer that they be somewhere between 16 and 18. I'll go as young as 15. I've muffled the walls with a soundproof padding. Oh. I have installed a Jägermeister dispenser in every room.
I am calling you Woody Allen Z.
I love how Sal always projects these, these things at me as though they've never crossed his mind before.
We got to move on, man. In closing, if you're a healthy, able-bodied person, shut your mouth, pick your head up, get to work, and make a difference in this world. Yeah. While these people out there with these amazing deformities are making shit happen and are keeping their head held high.
A brief aside, I just started watching Lost, which I was a huge fan, at least early on. And I saw one last night that I really liked where Jack assumed the role of leader. He was kind of the de facto leader. He didn't want to be the leader, but people kept turning to him as the leader. And finally last night, like, it sunk in. So he just got up and he gave this fucking rah-rah speech, you know, and he said, you know, if we don't work together, we die alone. That's how it works. So, and he said, you know, so do whatever you can do. Just find a way to be productive.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I would say that same thing to people out there who are going, oh, you know, poor me, you know.
I definitely agree with that. Well, thank you very much. And Mr. Nicholas Chacon is back with us today. How you doing, Nick?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good.
Speaking
how you
of Facebook, Nick, I always enjoy reading your posts. Nick has used Facebook for his own ends. It's really interesting. He's taken it and he does something very different with it. He just kind of verbalizes his. It's almost like he uses it as a journal.
Yeah, well, he asked. You know what I really
have
respect,
to, man. That's just
Nick
that's just
asked
the way
for
I
advice.
Am.
Nick asked for advice. He asked for help. I'm so prideful that I would not want to ask for help, and yet Mr. Nicholas Chacon will ask people for help.
Hey, I got nothing and everything to lose. So yeah.
And he never has anything negative to say, you know, whereas most people, they use Facebook either for self-promotion or, you know, to attack something or somebody else. And you know, Nick is just very, basically has made his life an open book via Facebook. And it's interesting.
Yeah, I don't really care. I have nothing to hide.
That's true,
much.
Nick, but I would encourage you to use Facebook more to promote your music, which is great. I have downloaded.
Yeah, I'm working on some new stuff.
I've downloaded his music and I had my cats dancing. I had my cats dancing to Nick's music in my living room. They were having a great time.
I remember when you told me that, I was like, that's cool.
Yeah, man, my cat's dance. Nicholas Chacon, can you please set up Chris's Corner?
Let's do it.
Yes. Sal, don't you wish you were one of those chicks who can sleep through a lifetime's worth of wake-up calls? They look in the mirror and they see the same face they saw when they were teenagers, some 20 years ago. They still get wet for band members, broken men, and bad boys who lack any of the qualities a prospective life partner should possess. Kim tended bar at the downtown LA dump where I waited tables. The recession had not only cost me my previous job, but had made finding a comparable replacement next to impossible. Kim was a chain-smoking lush in her late 30s, hungover every time I saw her. She once sent me an email so rife with grammatical errors that upon opening it, I assumed the Nigerian prince had penned it. You could tell just from Kim's tattoos that she did not think things through. So it was no surprise when she fell for a dead-eyed thug. There are a few absolutes in life. Murphy's Law, man's mortality. Poor folks are never too poor to afford cigarettes. And water finds its mark. A few months after pairing up with her bipolar Prince Charming, Kim disclosed her pregnancy to me. Ladies, if you're on the fence about terminating a fetus, here's a good indication that you should. When you tell people that you're pregnant and no one asks if it was planned, they just assume it wasn't. Instinctively, I leaned in to whisper, "Don't panic. I know a guy who works cheap." "Aren't you gonna congratulate me?" she chortled before my mouth could form the words. I was dumbstruck. If my brain were made from metal parts, her quarry would have caused it to grind to a halt noisily, smoke pouring from my ears. "Congratulate you? You're an unwed, unskilled, uncouth, underemployed, unmotivated souse who got knocked up by your psychologically unsound mate, and you want props for it?" In my teenage years, I would have made it my mission to save Kim from herself. I would have been kind to her, listened to her, and expressed my desire to explore her heart and mind by shying away from opportunities to explore her mouth and nether regions. Luckily, my teens were 20 years ago. Experience has taught me that women who define a man as cold, distant, unfaithful, or even abusive seek men who fit that mold. Deviating from her paradigm will not make you a maverick in her eyes. It will make you something other than a man. Something less than a man. To couch it in terms polite society can stomach, Kim lost the baby. Admittedly, what follows is conjecture, but hey, my corner, my rules. Saying that the fetus fell victim to some kind of entirely unexpected and unpredictable prenatal anomaly would be akin to labeling a drunk driving fatality mechanical error. I'll bet her BAC killed that zygote on contact the same way pure potent tequila kills worms. Now and again, not often enough, chance occurrences right wrongs. That's Chris's Corner. Thanks for stopping by.
Chris's Corner was brought to you by Durex Condoms. Durex, the most quality condom in the business.
That's funny. You're listening to Extreme Talk XM 165, SkidRowStudios.com, registered ear offenders. We do this every week. Sal, you know what time it is, right? Oh, no, it's not. We got to work your brand new segment, Sal's Me Time.
That's right. It's no longer, you know, don't think of this as Sal's Weekly Rant, even though it has the same music by Mr. Orange Dog Music, Mr. Wes Hambright, who provides the music for both Chris's Corner and the former Sal's Weekly Rant. I will be using the same Sal's Weekly Rant music brought to you by Mr. Wes Hambright.
I miss Wes. He was one of our first guests, and he just had such a good and easygoing way about him. He's such a California dude, you know.
He does. I do plan to have him back on the show again.
He just, you know, just plays music, very easygoing. I think he's the stereotype of what other people imagine Californians are, Southern Californians at least, you know. Beachy, just kind of like suntan, easygoing.
Yeah, he was really cool. You know what? I really am taken aback by people that are just genuinely friendly. And when I first met Wes Hambright at a film festival for which he had done some music, he's just a friendly guy, came up to me, approached me, tell me he enjoyed seeing me on stage as the host of the film festival. You know, you just get taken aback by these people who are just genuine. They're not, they don't want something from you. They just want to come up and give you a compliment and say hello.
Yeah, and sometimes you feel crummy because after something like that happens, like in your head, you're going, okay, what is it? Scientology? What is this guy going to try and sell me on?
It's true. If a strange guy comes up and he's friendly to me, I think he's either A, a born-again Christian, wants me to go to his church, B, he's an Amway, wants me to join his multi-level marketing, or what's the other one? We got the multi-level, we got the church, or just try to sell me something. Yeah.
That's funny. I actually just, believe it or not, was kind of in a group of strangers the other day, and somebody started talking about, oh, I'm doing this thing with, I think it was beauty products or something, sure. And she's like, but it's not like an Amway. This is called multi-level marketing.
What?
In other words, it's been rebranded.
How old is this person? Multi-level marketing has been around for 50 years.
She's too old to know. But my point is, it's sort of like who is it? Is it Altria that used to be? You remember after the Too Big to Fail and all that? Like some of these banks they kind of went under. Some of them kind of changed their name to escape their past, and it worked in many cases. I mean, another example of that is when BP had the oil disaster in 2009. Yeah. A lot of people were protesting by not going to BP gas stations. In some cases, they were going to Arco, which is owned by BP.
Don't get me started on that. We're definitely going to talk that on another show. In the meantime, it is now for the first installment. Now time for the first installment of Sal's Me Time. I'm moving back to my mom's house. Yes, it's a dump in a dumpy neighborhood, but it's a house. I live in an apartment, but I grew up in a house. A three-bedroom house with two bathrooms, a living room, a den, a large kitchen, complete with a washer and dryer leading to a back entrance. A house with a front yard with grass, plants, and trees, and a tool shed, and a carport with enough room for four cars. A house with a backyard with more grass and trees, with a clothesline, and yet another tool shed. A house with 13 windows. I moved out for good at the age of 20, ready to make my way in the world. I spent nearly 6 years in two-bedroom apartments with friends as roommates, leading me to where I live today. In a one-bedroom apartment with one tiny kitchen and one tiny bathroom where I can take a shit, wash my hands, turn on the bathtub without getting up from the toilet. An apartment with three windows. I have a landlord. It's his land. He's my lord. In nearly 20 years, my living situation has not only unimproved, it has worsened. I lived better when I was 19 than I do at 39. I'm moving back to my mom's house. I find no glory, no pride in the so-called making it on my own. And I've done it all on my own. No one has given me anything, and what a poor job I've done. I live in an apartment with common walls and common floors. I hear number 5 take a shower. I hear number 6 flush her toilet. I hear number 3 having teen sex. And number 8 never cleans the lint trap in the shared clothes dryer. I've got 10 years to make something happen, to either buy a respectable place of my own or hit the road as some sort of traveling speaker or entertainer. Hell, I'd settle for being a social director on a cruise ship. But I can't continue being an apartment dweller. Perhaps this is normal for some of you urbanites, but it's not for me, and I've reached the breaking point. 10 years. 10 years to do something. Anything. All my siblings own homes, except for one, and he's a drug addict. I'm not a drug addict, but I might as well be. 10 years. I'm moving back to my mom's house, and I'll never again complain about sweeping the driveway. Sounds me time.
That's funny. Sal, we'll have to talk about this some other time. We'll have to dedicate a good amount of a good chunk of time to it. But Sal and I both share, several things in common. Specifically, we have brothers that we... in fact, I saved a message on my phone because I want to play it on the air sometime. It's the most mumbling, convoluted message you'll ever hear. And for some reason, my brother is... His phone is not a communication device. It's a torture device to torture me with his strange, poorly timed message. He never answers when I call. He's one of these guys who you can call him three times. He won't return the call. But if he calls you and you don't return the call in 1 hour, mm-hmm. he'll already be on you mm-hmm. again. And even when he does call, you're just like, what are you doing? Like, he'll call you from like a nightclub. You know, he's a musician, so he's always in loud places. But he always is in a weird position. He's always talking to somebody else. Like, he's never just like, you know, hey, I'll call you in 10 minutes where I'll be at the Coffee Bean and I'll have, you know, be relaxed yeah. and have time to talk, you know. And yeah. if he does set it up like that, he'll never actually call.
Yeah. So. Well, you know, the good news is at least you guys have a cohesive relationship to some degree. I just learned as of last night, it appears that my two older brothers have disowned one another and are no longer speaking on speaking terms and have used, one of them has used expletives against the other.
Now you have something of a convoluted family. It's split into two paternal. What's the word I'm looking for?
We got it all, man. We'll get into that another time.
Okay. Yeah,
definitely.
We're gonna save a nice chunk of time for our guests.
I definitely believe me. Chris and I both have a lot to talk about when it comes to families. I want Chris to introduce our lovely guest today.
Oh, Sal, you make me do all the hard work here. Where to begin? Literally, this was not a joke when I said this before. Marabina Hymas is an Emmy Award-winning host. She's an actress. She's a singer. When I say she won awards, I don't mean like, community theater awards. The Imagine Award, Imagine Award nominee, Let's Talk, Imagine Award for LYSE, and she's been on PBS Storytime, CBS, ABC's Desperate Housewives, and over 300 commercials in English and Spanish. Please welcome our guest for today, Marabina Hymas.
Gracias.
It's the first time with a birthday guest in the studio. Today is Marabina Hymas's birthday.
Okay, wait. Don't bug me. Wait. I gotta make a wish.
She's gonna make a wish.
Okay.
Yay!
Thank you.
The lovely and talented Marabina Hymas, and damn, you are tan. Where have you been?
California. Just outside. Oh my gosh. By the way,
believe me, this studio is used to plenty of smoke in here, so don't worry about that.
I blew out the candle. Right.
This is the first time it's not pot smoke.
Oh my God. Well, okay, good. I'm glad. Because, you know, when I came in here, it kind of smelled like a gym. I heard you guys talk about it would be. So.
No, but just to be clear, I came into the studio once on my birthday.
Yes.
And of course, there was no cupcake waiting for me.
Okay, so it is
time.
A beautiful cupcake.
And thank you, Nick.
It's a beautiful cupcake. It's just a cupcake, right? There isn't anything in the cupcake.
Not yet.
I wouldn't expect Marabina to understand, but when you start pushing 40, you don't talk about your birthday.
That's right. So what the hell are you doing with this cupcake here?
I know. Marabina Hymas, Chris mentioned Eva Longoria. Tell us about your few degrees of separation from Eva Longoria.
Well... I actually did the Spanish language narration of Desperate Housewives for the whole run of the show, all 8 years. So the show was on in Spanish simultaneously as it was in English, and I did the role of the narrator for all that time. It was a great show to work on. It was really fun, and it was, it was a really cool job to have because I always knew it was going to happen before anybody else. Wisteria Lane was always exciting and crazy. And anyway, so that was really fun to do.
That's very impressive. I had the experience of serving drinks to Felicity Huffman one night. That was as close as I've ever come to doing anything with Desperate Housewives.
Well, hey, let me ask you, when you did this this voiceover narration, did you play it straight or did they ask you to kind of Latino it out with a...
Well, no. Now, first of all, it was in Spanish. So how much more Latin can we make it?
Now, wait a second. I did see a clip of something, and this is, what is it called? Saving Paco, a web series.
Fixing Paco
that you've done with Paul Rodriguez. And in the kitchen, you had about five Latin ladies in the kitchen making a meal, and they started salsa dancing.
Okay,
does that happen in Latin women's kitchens?
Yes, it does. Okay, now, first of all, just let me say that they did use a cue from my CD for that clip.
I thought it's the voice sounded familiar, yes.
Yeah, and yes, of course, Latinas are happy. We're always dancing and trying to get the energy going. Of course, that's why people like us so much. Come on.
I need to go back to Latinas. I've been dating Anglo women for the last 15 years.
Is that when they were in the kitchen, were they chisme? Were they sharing?
Chisme. Oh, Mike, I am just so impressed with all your Spanish.
No, you should.
I have to tell you.
To our listeners, before the show, Chris was sharing some words with Maravina Jaimes, and I got to hear for the first time Chris speaking Spanish.
Hablas muy bonito, Chris.
Muchas gracias.
Ay, Dios mío. Yeah, he speaks
I'm turning
great.
Red.
And Sal, tu español, ¿qué pasó?
Yeah. So listen, we are going to play a clip from Maravina's song. Please give us an introduction on this wonderful song, Maravina.
This is a salsa tune I have up on iTunes. It's called Te Extraño, which means I miss you. And it was written by a very good friend of mine, Luis Eric Gonzalez. And I hope you enjoy it. And please go on YouTube and check out the video, too.
But that's right. There's a sexy video with it.
Te Extraño.
All right.
I miss you.
Nick, please hit it. Singing Te Extraño. Chris, for our non-Spanish speaking audience, can you please tell our listeners what Te Extraño means?
It's with an ñ.
Okay.
So try it again with an ñ.
Te Extraño.
Extraño.
Okay, so what does it mean?
It means I miss you. He's not letting us rope him into speaking.
What kind of music that is specifically, but I feel sexier just listening. I feel sexy. I feel like I want to have sex after listening to that music.
Well, it's a salsa tune.
It's a good thing Maravina is sitting two chairs away. I'll tell you that.
Well, you did some fine salsa dancing.
I tried to move my hips. Is that salsa music?
That is salsa.
Okay. To give us a little education, what would be the difference between salsa, merengue, cumbia? Give us a little Latin music history here.
Give me the difference between a New Yorker, an Australian, and an Englishman. Hello.
Okay. Salsa is Puerto Rican, right?
Salsa is from the Caribbean.
Okay.
So you have actually stemming from Cuba and all of the Caribbean.
A lot of horns, right?
Yes, horns and the percussion is really what makes it.
Sometimes you even use the steel drum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
So it's like Afro-Caribbean a little bit, right?
Well, of course, because the Caribbean, of course, is composed of everyone in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, African, Spanish, all the Europeans, a huge mixture. And I'm a huge mixture, as you can see. I'm a Mexican.
You almost made Chris knock over his laptop.
Are you okay?
No, my laptop is sitting between me and Maravina, so I was about to just whack it the hell out of the way.
Chris's laptop screen is blocking Maravina Jaime's wonderful cleavage.
Oh my God.
Chris, what is wrong with you?
Generous, ample, other words.
Oh my goodness.
I will tell you this, though. Even though it's not evident, our broadcast goes on. We have a fan in Pakistan.
We do.
So that's why we're asking these kind of questions that may seem like, you know, common sense to you. But, we want people who maybe, believe it or not, have never heard this type of music to know what it's about.
I'm sure we do have plenty of people that listen to our show.
Literally have never heard that.
I've never heard that. Yeah.
Well, I'd like to make it really easy for them. I'd like them to go to iTunes and buy it. It's called Te Extraño and... drop 99 cents.
Well, then, since you're mentioning that, please give our listeners, because your last name is Jaimes.
Yes.
Spelled?
J-A-I-M-E-S.
Got it. I wanted to get into this specifically for Chris's benefit.
Okay.
Where did you get the last name Jaimes? Tell us about your first husband.
Oh, my gosh.
Come on, Sal. Come on.
Okay, Sal and I go way, way, way back. Sal has trained me for many, many, many years. And so Sal knows all of my life. You want to find out something about someone, go talk to their trainer. Yes, my first husband's name was Jaime Jaimes.
Yes, and how much older was he than you? How old were you and how old was he?
Yes, very few people know this unless they knew us together because we're not married anymore. But yes, he was 30 years older than I was.
But how old were you when you started dating him and seeing him? Come on, Maravina.
I didn't know you were going
to
ask me this question.
Listeners want to know.
Let me just tell you this. I was married when I was 18, and I was married for 13 years, and we are still friends to this day. And
slow down. So you were 18 when you married a 48-year-old man.
Yeah, 41.
Chris Z, are you listening to this? That would be Chris's dream come true.
This does nothing for me, Sal, because I'm barely 10 years older than Maravina?
Yeah, exactly.
This is not helping my case.
I love talking to Chrissy about the May-December romances, about the younger women, the older men. You became enraptured with your acting coach, right, is who he was.
Yes, I didn't know we were going to talk about this. Yes, this is how it happened. And now just I want to just say this disclaimer. I do not recommend this for everyone, okay? No, I really don't because, it works, December, May romances work more for the December because come March, May is like, what the hell did I do? You've got to be very, very careful and you really have to know what you want. Just to tell you though, I was very focused and I definitely wanted to have a career in entertainment. And I also wanted to travel and learn. Mm-hmm. And basically, my wonderful ex-husband could provide that for me. We traveled every year to Europe and South America. And I met, just wonderful creatives around him. And I probably would not have been able to meet them.
All that talk of travel reminds me of the book Lolita. Remember in the book Lolita, he traveled with the young girl all over.
Oh my gosh.
Chris and I want to know that when we reach our middle age, which we are not yet, we will have a beautiful 18-year-old girl enraptured.
If you have money.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And that's our show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining Registered Nerve Offenders.
But that's an important point. I mean, of course, money is not everything. But, we do have a saying in Spanish. You can fall in love just as well with someone with money than fall in love with someone without money.
My sister says the same thing. My oldest sister says the same thing.
Yeah, it matters. I mean, it's not the only thing that matters. I do definitely want to say that, because we all know here in Los Angeles, there are a lot of people with tons of money and no friends, or tons of money and all kinds of different problems.
And there's people like me with no money and no friends.
Maravina Hamas, I'm sorry, Chris, go ahead.
I did want to ask now, if it's not too personal.
We're already going
there, Chris.
Oh, dear. What?
I love Sal opens doors for me, because after some of the things he says, what I say just, pales in comparison.
God. What?
Did the age difference factor into the dissolution of the relationship?
That's a great question. Of course it did. Because at some point, I was no longer okay with just being a trophy, an arm piece. I developed, my own way of thinking. And yes, that did cause some problems. However, to my ex-husband's credit, I do want to say we always were able to talk about things. We always were able to work things out. And even the day that we got divorced, we went to lunch together right afterwards. Because that was the kind of person that he was and that I learned to be. I mean, you definitely, when you fall in love with someone, I think that love lasts forever.
I agree with that. I still love my ex-girlfriend.
Sure.
I do. I still love them. We're not together. Yeah. We had fights, but I still love them. I don't know if they still love me, but I still love them.
What I did want to ask is if you had a guy who is 30 years your senior, right? Was it 30 or 20?
Mm-hmm, 30.
Okay. He's your teacher. How does he broach the subject?
Chris wants advice.
Tell me word for word.
What did he say to you specifically?
It seems like there's
a lot at stake, to put this on the table.
Chris, this is so bizarre because this is probably not the way the story goes, but actually I pursued him. What I saw in him was, not only all his knowledge and expertise, but also, the potential of being able to travel and do all of these things that I so wanted to do. And as you know, women look at men not as what they're seeing. They look at men as potential.
Well, also, let's be perfect.
Why there's so many problems.
Let's be perfectly clear. It's not just the fact that he had money. He was an artist. Yes. Maravina is a woman who is impressed by men who are creative. So, Chris, there's hope.
Oh, well, yes, I am. But now I realize that I love creative people, but not all creative people know how to take care of themselves financially. And they also don't know how to appreciate their own creativity.
That's true.
And you guys started out today with, self-esteem and all these incredible people that, although they're having some challenges, are still able to, rise beyond the challenges. There are a lot of creative people, a lot of talented people that have talent for years, but they don't have the esteem to go with it. It's very strange.
Maravina, we only have a short period of time left.
Dear.
I do want to broach this subject, and that is that you are our first guest on Registered Air Offenders who is an Emmy Award winner. Tell us what you won an Emmy for.
Yay! I won an Emmy for hosting a show on PBS called Storytime. I read books, and it's kind of funny now because I have an 11-year-old son, and I love going to the library, and I run into men with mustaches all the time to say, thanks, Mara. I really liked watching you on Storytime.
So you were about, 20 years older than some of these kids? Did any of them try to approach you for romance?
No, thank goodness. No, their fathers did, but not the kids. No, not the kids.
I did want to ask, you have listed some of your television credits. These are just conventional acting credits. CSI, Miami, Weeds, The Good Wife, House of Lies. These are tell us about your favorite one.
Oh, okay. Well, all of those, I have been working for quite some time. I just want to say, I've been working since I fell out of the womb. I just want to say that because I don't want to give you any numbers.
For 25 years.
I don't want to give you any numbers. But, I have played all kinds of lawyers and screaming victims of all sorts. I also have, come in and revoiced projects and changed things around a little bit for directors. I mean, that's a whole other area that I work in as a voiceover artist, changing performances, adding performances. I've also done tons of animation. I had a show on CBS called Santo Baguito. It was insects on the Tex-Mex border. I don't know if some of you remember it, but Mark Mothersbaugh, who used to do music for Devo, wrote the music. And Tony Plana was my husband, my aunt-husband. He was my husband.
Now, Tony Plana was the guy, right, who was in Born in East L.A., who said, anything that I want, anything that I want.
Well, and also he played the father in Ugly Betty. And here's something hilarious. My mom is 88 years old, and just a month ago, okay, on Lifetime, my mom worked with Tony Plana and Sonia Braga on this wonderful project called Meddling Mom, and you can find it on Hallmark.
Sonia Braga, I know that name, Sonia Braga. Not paying face to it.
Oh my goodness. Sonia Braga is a Brazilian actress who has done many films. Very sexy, very popular. She's done tons of films. And I have to tell you, I have the pleasure of revoicing her in I had the pleasure of revoicing her in English on several of her projects before she started speaking English. So one of them is Doña Flora and Her Two Husbands. Some of you may know that film.
It sounds sexual.
Well, she's Brazilian. Anything coming from Brazil is pretty sexy.
Maravina, tell us about what you've been working on with Paul Rodriguez, father, of course.
Your father, yes.
Yes, it is called...
You're not a skateboarder. Wait a minute.
No, it's called Fixing Paco.
Yes. Actually, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to come on today and talk a little bit about this project. Fixing Paco is basically a web series that was created in both English and Spanish, and it addresses health, more specifically kidney transplantation. But it's done through kind of...
Is this a dig at George Lopez?
No, it's not at all. No, what this is a wake-up call for all people. First of all, you know, the statistics are that almost 40% of Latinos have some kind of problem, diabetes or some other kind of problem that is affecting their kidneys, where they might have to face having a transplantation. Now, this is terrible. When you think about how easy it is to... try to eat properly, exercise, find out what's going on with your health, and most importantly, find out if you have any family history or risks that could, lead you to having, something so serious happen.
Well, I'm not going to go to the doctor. They'll tell me something's wrong with me.
Well, of course, we should go to the doctor, but I think more importantly, we all know exactly what makes us work well. Some people know that if they have too much meat, they don't feel so good because it takes their body a long time to digest it. Some people know that if, they have seven pizzas or seven slices of pizza, even seven pizzas, they're not going to feel so hot. We do know. The other thing is that, my goodness, that there's childhood obesity. This is absurd. We have so many opportunities to eat well, be conscious of what we're doing. There's no excuse. The internet, Google, everything is available. Any information you want is there.
So this is not only a creative endeavor, an artistic endeavor, it's like a public service.
It is, but the cool thing about it is that, it's a great cast, and there's so much about how families deal with crises. It's not just, someone feels sick, he goes to the doctor and it's over. What we're highlighting in the series is actually the whole process, including, what happens when the family understands that there's a crisis. Is there someone in the family that is actually going to be able to, contribute, an organ? I mean, this is a big question that a lot of people have to address.
Sure.
Other members of the family, have they gone through a treatment similar and still had no result because they didn't make the changes in their own lives? Basically, Fixing Paco is a fantastic series where you get an opportunity to see how people are observing and thinking about their health, what they're doing, and more importantly, what you can do. So I invite you, please, to go to fixingpaco.org. You'll be able to see
And the org
series.
Is for organ.
Well, it could be. And, that brings me to another point. I know this is going to be totally strange, but do you know that even if we have almost 40% of Latinos that have diabetes or some other illness that could lead to kidney transplantation, there are not a lot of Latino donors of organs. A lot of people
Stop looking at me that way.
No, I'm not saying no. No, but this is really interesting. I mean, for our for the Latino community anyway, to have so much of an issue, and then our own community not even on their driver's license saying, hey, you know, if something happens to me, I'll donate. I don't think people are aware of that. And, you know, it's just a point that I'm making. I'm not suggesting that anyone.
Well, it's because they're going to steal my organ and give it to a rich person. They're going to do.
So we we have not a whole lot of time left.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry.
Help me understand this. Clear this up already. The Imagine Award, you've won Imagen Award.
Imagen, yes.
Come on, Chris. Where's your accent, damn it?
So, please, I've got the burden of time bearing down on me. You've got one, two of them, and you were nominated for third.
Yes. Actually, this was so amazing. This was just 2 years ago. I was nominated for I was nominated for two projects that were up against each other. One was Latin Heat's Let's Talk, which is a Latina version of The View. And the other show is a show called Ilse that is was done by Ruth Livier.
Oh, and Ruth Livier. Yes.
Ruth Livier. And so these two shows that I was working on were up against each other for an Imagen Award. And,
wow, so you were a shoo-in.
So I lost and I won because Let's Talk was only nominated. We didn't get it. But Ilse did one for, it was for best web series that year.
And Let's Talk was sort of like... it was instead of like The View, which has four multi-ethnic women annoying you, this was four Latinas annoying you.
But you know, I do want to tell you, still, okay, and I know when we started Let's Talk, it was like, oh, you know, there are no Latinas, there's no Latina representation, sure, except for the weather.
Right? Yes.
Definitely
if they,
for
if
the
they,
weather.
They look good in a skirt.
Right, and then, of course, you know, hosting all those silly girl shows. But the thing is, I mean, there's still talk shows where there are the Latina... perspective, and I'm talking about the bicultural Latina,
sure,
perspective.
Possibly more likely American-born, right, Latino, and yeah, and it's how big there is the Latino population? The thing of it is television does not or cannot or will not distinguish between an American-born Latino and just a Latino from south of the border.
Well,
they don't have a distinction or no.
They're starting to have a distinction though, because as you know, we spend dollars, not pesos. And so the demographics are showing that, you know, there's a lot of money to be made by addressing bicultural Latinos.
We buy shit.
Yes,
yeah. In other words, these companies have to realize, hey, these people are spending money.
Yeah. Oh, and also, if you don't mind, I know that we're running out of time. I just want a shout out to my nephew, Ernie G, who is traveling across the country.
Ernie G, changing lives.
That's right. One laugh at a time. My nephew is an amazing comedian.
That's right.
And he's doing great. And I love you. And
Ernie, go get your kidneys checked. Damn it.
Oh, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much for celebrating my birthday.
Happy birthday, Maravina. Tell our listeners where they can see you and hear more about you.
Okay, please go to maravinajaimes.com or you can go to fixingpaco.org and there'll be some information there. And I love you guys. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be on the show.
The lovely and talented Maravina Jaimes. This is like Latina month. Unregistered Ear Offenders. We had Monique Marvez, Maravina Jaimes this week, Alisa Reyes next week. All of these beautiful Latinas are not dating me at all.
We have enough guests to last for the rest of our lives then in that case.
We do. Hey, listen, if you're listening live, stay tuned to our next show, which is called The Devil's in the Details Conspiracy Theory Radio, hosted by Mr. Wyme Russell.
Thanks for listening to REO on SkidRowStudios.com and Extreme Talk XM 165. Big shout out to Wes Hambright. Big shout out to Jeremy Hansen, general manager of Skid Row Studios. And thanks to you guys for tuning in.
Big shout out to Mr. Nicholas Chacon. Where are you going? We got a minute 35 left, Chris Z. Chris is trying to sneak out of here. Where are you going to the gym because you're wearing a tank top today?
No, man. I got a lucrative opportunity waiting for me.
Chris is out there because he is of Latino descent. The opportunities are opening.
I did. Today's just wall to wall with opportunities. In fact, I just came from a Spanish language audition and I thought, wouldn't it be funny if Maravina happened to be there?
You had an audition earlier too, Mara.
I did. I don't think it was for the same thing though. But wait a minute, you're leaving the show to go to another audition?
To another audition.
So I think we should leave.
I think we should. Well,
Nicholas can do the show while we're gone and go audition.
I am treating Maravina Jaimes to Sizzler today, since it is her birthday.
Savas, can't be good news.
The owner of the building just walked into the studio.
Oh my gosh, did you guys not pay?
And his glasses are on the tip of his nose, which is never a good sign.
He's got that, and he had a piece of paper in his hand. The glasses are on the tip of his nose, and he is talking to Nick. Everybody, I think we got to get it. I think we're being shut down. Thank you for listening to Registered Ear Offenders, hosted by Sarah Rodriguez and Chris Z, our beautiful guest, Miss Bonabina Jaimes. Stay tuned to our next show, and thanks for listening on Extreme Talk XM 165.